Blog Talk Radio.
Another exclusive live session with the Hype Magazine.
You need to stop what you're doing.
Pay attention.
World famous
Hype Magazine.
Going down right now.
Yo, yo, welcome to another live session, man, with the Hype Magazine. Got an amazing voice, amazing artist, radio host, Sony artist, and Sirius XM host, Simone. She's a pop. I don't know how you describe her except for she's a rhythmic pop. She's clowning. She's got metaphors. She's dropping bombs on folks. Her first song that really came to attention was called No Way I'm Fucking You. Entertainment Weekly called it one of the 9 catchy singles that you need to hear now. So we're waiting on Simone to jump in here. She's got this new single, I Never Do. I don't know what it is, man, but it seems like there's a bunch of breakup songs just jumping off across the board. She's not the only one. Everybody's breaking up and things that I won't do and setting up. Now, No Way I'm Fucking You, it's like a setup song, right? So the video, if you've never seen the video, it's entertaining. So you've got the couple making out, you know what I mean? And everything's hot and bothered, at least for one side. But to the reality is, in her mind, I'm never fucking you. So, and how do you handle that? Just get up, grab an ice bucket, fill it up. Anyway, so this new joint, man, is pretty amazing. I don't know why a grown man like myself is here. You know what? I'm just going to let you hear it. Check it out, Simone.
Leather and cigarettes always look better in neon lights. Another drunk text only gets me addressed in a new waste of time. I guess I'm just addicted to the bulge. Fill it out just to get it with the cool kids. Morissette rolling on my cassette telling me I'm that guy. And I know you something better, but you, you're something that I never do. Body and mind coming back to life.
Trying.
Yeah, it's a dope. It's a dope joint, man. It's a beautiful song. We have a magnificent song, but we don't have a show if the guest doesn't show up. So we're waiting on it. I'm just clowning. You know, Simone is touted as one of the industry's newest it girls. You know, so they call her a mix between Halsey and Ariana Grande, with a rebellious hint of Brooke Candy. Ariana Grande, I know about. Brooke Candy, I've heard. But supposedly she's got a left of center approach to pop music and doesn't really claim one lane, which is, you know, good because it's universal and you need to be a little flexible in order to move around. She's had some great joints. Her summer anthem, Say, was the one that was named by Entertainment Weekly as one of the 9 catchy singles that you need to hear now. And they've been tracking on iTunes, Spotify, and national radio. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I know that she's popular because we are salivating to get her on air. And as a host of the Sirius XM Radio's Hits 1 Hollywood? Looks like we may have Miss Simone. Are you checking in, Simone? You there?
Do you hear me?
I can hear you, Simone.
Oh, good. It's actually Simon.
Simon. Okay. Well, thank you. See,
yeah.
Nobody prepped me. That's wrong. I don't have an assistant to make sure that I don't put my foot in my mouth at the beginning of a segment. So I do apologize. Simon, we just played your joint. Like, incredible, incredible. I never do. Joint. So to recap, I've already introed you. I'm already glowing. I've told people that I'm salivating over here to have an opportunity to talk to you. And, you know, it's fun. So, you know, my first introduction to you. No Way I'm Fucking You. You know, that's a pretty cool setup joint. And as a man, I was like, okay, the visual says, then you go, ha, nope. I'm like, and yes, you have women, you have the right to change your mind at any time, but that just is a cold joint, man. What's up with you, Simon?
What's up with me?
Yeah, that was cold. Yeah, what do you
think? No, you gotta listen to the song. It's basically the idea. It's my body, my choice. When I want to, then I'm going to. Because then if you proceed into the chorus, it says, okay, okay, okay. Okay, I'm fucking you. So basically, I went on a date. I went on a date with this guy. And before he even wanted to know my last name, he just wanted to sleep with me. And I find this often that our generation is about instant gratification. Like social media, you see tons of new girls every 2 seconds, tons of new guys, you know, new pictures, new feeds, new swiping on dating apps. And it's just like, there's no romance. It's just a lot of BS. And I wanted to write a song about some, you know, things that I've been dealing with. And I went to the studio after I had that date with that guy, and I was like, seriously, dude, I'm going to write this song. And so that's how No Way was born.
You know what? As a man, I apologize for men across the world. We have our pig moments where, you know, and it's inexcusable to really treat that. And we all have daughters, or at least I have daughters. And I've regretted everything that I've ever done or everyone that I've ever mistreated. Great song, great joint. I love the way you just put the zingers out there, the missiles, and some truths couched in some real high energy music. So new joint, I never do. I'm not even going to try to decipher that one because I got the other one wrong. So talk to us about that new joint.
So, like I said, This EP and my future album that's going to be coming out is about my life in my 20s, I was lucky enough to grow up in Los Angeles and experience having Hollywood around me. So I don't think I'm jaded by it because I grew up around it. And I realize that, you know, it's not all what it seems. And every job in the world has its importance. And there are way more important jobs than being in Hollywood and being singers and actresses and things like that. And my family, since I grew up in L.A., there was no reason for me to move out. I was getting my laundry done by my mom, my cooking, coming home from late-night studio sessions, having food. My mom cooked me food. Why would I move out? It was too good to be true. So eventually I said, last year, I was like, you got to get out of the house. Like just get out. So I got out, and this last year, since Faye was out, I have been writing about my experiences of being a young, you know, young girl in her 20s, trying to navigate through life in this crazy world on her own, whether it's dealing with, you know, dating or friendships or being broke or, you know, just everything that can think of is basically what is this EP has been about, what I've been writing about. And so I was dealing with a situation that I feel like a lot of us can relate to, and that's, you know, you're with a guy that seems great for you. He's perfect on paper. He's got, you know, the right job, the right background, the right this, the right that. Everything seems great, but there's this other guy, and the other guy that might not be the right guy for you is the one that gets your heart pumping, and the one you're with just doesn't, the good guy. And so that's how I Never Do was born, through that experience of this relationship I've had in the last year. And it was very, very fun to create I Never Do, because I got to build a whole world around it with the visual. And, you know, I create my own visuals, and I produce my own music video that's out on Vevo now. And I met with many directors, but there was one director that really understood me, and he actually is Nicki Minaj's content creator, and he just got me, and we sat down and we kind of just built this whole thing. Because, you know, as a new artist, and this is my first visual. Because with Say, I just had a lyric video, but I never did a music video. So I wanted this to introduce me, and I wanted it to show, you know, really who I am. And so what we did was, you know, when I sat down with many directors, they were all saying, well, you could have good boy in it and bad boy, you know, good guy for you and not the guy. I was like, that's too cliche. So when I sat down with this other director, whose name is Grizz, and they also call him, his name's Alex Lucas, he was like, no, let's create something more interesting. And so what we came up with was that the video is basically a mental trip through my brain of my good side versus my bad side. So in the beginning, I'm more natural, and towards the end, I look like completely crazy and cracked out, and like I'm burning roses and shit. So it's a whole mental trip and journey through my brain, and I thought that was that would be more interesting visual. So I'm very excited. The song literally came out like a week ago in 2 days, so goes to radio really soon, and I've just been like anxious to like have this song out for a while because I wrote it a couple months ago. So I'm very, very excited.
So you wrote it a couple of months ago, I mean, and obviously you're in charge of your own process, but now, you know, you're on Sony and you have to navigate this machine. I mean, reception, how was it received as soon as you dropped it and say, hey, this is the direction that I want to go, this single? I mean, give us a little insight on how that worked for you. Radio personality to pop superstar, and this
well,
is the story that I want to tell, you know.
Yeah.
And keep in control. Go ahead.
So, I was never a radio personality ever. I never have done it. I never did any of it. And then when my first single "Faye" came out, and I was really fortunate with the love it got. You know, I was on promo tours, and, you know, I'm being interviewed all the time. And the first person that put the song on the radio was Kid Kelly, who is the head of SiriusXM for many channels at SiriusXM, Hits 1, Venus, a lot of the channels over there, big wig at SiriusXM. And he literally, he broke my record. He broke Say. And he was watching me, I guess, and I didn't know this. He was watching a bunch of my interviews with other stations and other outlets. And he called up my manager and he just said, I think she's got something. And I'm going to put together my own West Coast show called Hits One in Hollywood. And there's two guys already on it. It's Michael Yo and Tony Fly. And they're two guys big in radio. And I was like, oh, my God, why me? And he just thought it was a natural. He thought I was better than the people interviewing me, which was hysterical. Because I'm just being me. You know, I just got a person. I got a big personality. You know what I mean? So he basically met me in Hollywood, flew out from New York, and I sat at a hotel in Hollywood for like 4 hours. And before I knew it, I got offered this gig where, you know, they respected me as being the artist, but I could also have such an incredible outlet and be the artist-to-artist component on the show, which I thought was fascinating because so long are the days where you can just be a recording artist or a touring artist. Got to have a lot of things under your belt, and I thought it would be very interesting because what I love about being an artist is connecting with people, and through radio, I mean, that's what you're doing, people on your show and connecting to people in their cars, just like music. So I was like, you know what, this could be really interesting. So after Say had its success, I was like, you know what, while I'm writing and recording and putting stuff out, I should definitely do this. And it's been amazing. So through that process, I've been on the show. And then, like, as you asked me about how my team accepted I Never Do. So as I was writing and having sessions, you know, after the show or whatever on weekends, I met with the head of my label, Steve Zapp, and I played him the song. And he looked at me and he goes, whoa. He goes, this is a really different sounding record, the hook, because it's got some interesting cadences and things, and he thought it was super interesting, and he loved it instantly, which I was so thrilled about, because you get so scared sharing your music. You're like, oh, my God, don't hate it. Oh, it's scary. When you love something, you know what I mean? When you love something, you don't know how others are going to react. And fortunate enough, he absolutely loved it, and he was like, let's freaking go for this. Let's go for this in July 7th. So it came out on 7/7/17, which is super cool. And now it's living and breathing.
It's amazing joint. Look, I'm 54. I'm a little outdated for you.
No, you're not.
But I love the joint. I'm like, all right, so, you know, you're changes in timbre, the intonation, the intervals, you know, going from husky, Billie Holiday kind of, you know, Nina Simone-ish, you know, with the emotion, and I'm going, man. So I was kind of hypnotized, and I was like, now, my challenge now is that she's, you know, been interviewed by everybody, their cat, uncle, and dog. How do I talk to her? What makes an interview to you? So let's make it fun for you, and let's pick something about this joint that like really just had you excited from the time that it jumped into your brain to the time you were able to deliver it finished.
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding exactly what you mean, but I appreciate everything you just said. That was really nice. I didn't hear the last thing it cut out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a bit long-winded for an interview, so I actually have conversations. I was asking, what was the most exciting thing for you, you know, in the process of I Never Do, from the time it jumped into your brain to the time you got it finished? Like, what was it that was just like, yes, that yes moment about the joint as it came together?
I think when you make a video and you see the visual and you feel your story coming alive, it's just like the aha moment. It's weird. It's it's very inspiring. It almost like can choke you up thinking about it. It's very cool. And then that was definitely one moment. And then on release day, I had a show in Georgia, and we were like killing time before my sound check. And the only thing in Georgia to eat is a bunch of fried food, which I'm totally down with. I love it. So we were like, I was like with my someone from my team, and then someone from Sony, from my label, and we were in the car, and we were like trying to find something to eat, and we're like, okay, we'll just go to Chick-fil-A, whatever. And all of a sudden, on the station in Augusta, Georgia, my song came on. So I got to hear it for the first time on release day, driving to a Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
I was like, this is sick. So that was, I'm telling you, that was a moment. That was, so I would say that the video part aspect, when it's not out yet, is like a moment where it's like, wow, this is getting real. And then it's really real when you hear it. And then like last night I was at, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was saying last night I went to this incredible Forever 21 event, and it was in downtown LA, and you know the artist Khalid, he is amazing, and he performed, and I was just watching him, and I was thinking to myself, there's nothing also more inspiring than other artists, and I was just enjoying his set so much, and I had to leave, and I was like kind of annoyed because I was really tired, and I just kind of got an annoying call from like my dad, and like I was just like and so I got into the car, and I was with my friend, who's also my stylist, and another friend of ours, and we're in the car, and we're driving, and literally looking at downtown LA, driving, you know, late, and my song came on the radio, and it was the first time we all heard it together, and we were screaming, so it's like, it's just exciting times right now, and, you know, there's, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of it that you don't put out there that's really fucking hard and stressful. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm stressed all the time. I'm nervous all the time because this is the scariest, because it's a really scary business, and there's so much competition, and it's not easy. You know, people might think, oh, wow, you know, her song's on the radio, but, like, yeah, and I'm so fortunate for that, and I feel so grateful, but, like, you don't know. Those people could, like, hate your song next week, and that's what's so scary about this business. It's so finicky. One day you could be the biggest star in the world, and you could have a one-hit wonder and be done, and so it's all about momentum and growth, and I'm just, you know, I'm in it for the long run. You know, I'm not looking for that, just that one song that's going to blow up, you know. Say wasn't a mega hit, but it did really well to get me out there. And, you know, it was top 50 in pop radio. So it's about building content and building a story that people can hold on to and have content.
Right.
But, you know, for people listening, like, this is not an all glamour kind of gig. It's scary. It's hard. I mean, there's so many incredible moments and so many highs and lows through this process of, like, climbing the mountain. I'm like the new artist climbing, and you know, I have days where it ain't easy. You know, you wake up in the morning and you're just like, oh, and then other days are great, but that's life, right?
So, like, really, what brought you to the entertainment industry, music specifically? It seems like turning loose your inner thoughts is something that's very challenging for a lot of people, but you were able to step out there and entrust a piece of yourself, a big part of yourself, to your music, to your audience. What brought you to that?
You know, I know it sounds super cliche, but I was literally the kid that knew at, like, you know, 6 years old in my yearbook, it says, I want to be a singer. Like, I just knew. It was the only thing. It was super innate to me. And my parents first heard me sing at 5, and I was singing, like, a Celine Dion song, and they were like, what? And I was, like, a super shy kid, which is, like, crazy because I'm, like, the polar opposite to that now. But, you know, growing up, school wasn't easy for me. I was always just, you know, the right side of the brain, artistic, and, you know, loved theater and musical theater and drama and film and, you know, art and music. And I remember when I went into art music class for the first time in elementary school, that was like my happy place, and that was my escape, and I knew that I wanted to make that escape my reality. And so I immersed myself in any bit of art I could, like I said, musical theater, productions in school or out of school, local things, started studying like classical music and Great American Songbook and any music I could get my hands on, and really was immersed in pop music. I would like study TRL, and I would watch the artists coming on to host, and then when their videos mm-hmm. would come on, like how it was such an art, and I would just study it, and I was obsessed. I mean, it was just everything to me. I'd have every Britney thing in my room and NSYNC, and I was obsessed with these young pop stars, and I was obsessed with their songs and how anthemic their hooks were. And at a young age, I looked up on my freaking dial-up computer who wrote these songs, and it was these guys from Sweden named Max Martin and Andreas Carlson, and I was like, they're geniuses. And so as life went on, I started winning talent shows and this and that. And at a young age, I would look up, how do I find an agent? And my parents wanted to protect me from that because they knew, you know, what heartache this business brings and the rejection. It's not easy. And I just said, sorry, guys, and pushed through it and was like recording an EP by like 15. I met this woman who was like helping me in music, and I started writing and learning how to navigate through a studio. And then at 16, I started a pop rock band in my garage with my next door neighbors. We had a lot of great opportunities with that. We opened up for Demi Lovato and did some really cool stuff with that. We were like a young pop band. It was cool. And then eventually I knew, I was like, I gotta be a solo artist. I gotta write about what I want to write about. And that's when I was fortunate enough to meet Steve Zapp, and he saw me. Oh, but what's cool is this band, we, at 21, 22, I got signed to David Foster signed me out of high school. Me and my bandmates, and he was taking over a sub-label of Universal, and he was going to make it reboot it as a pop label, and we were his first pop act. And when he signed us, we had this meeting. And we were performing an acoustic set for him in the label, and he looks at us and he said, oh my God, this huge pop writer is coming in right after this. I want you guys to meet him. He's huge. And I'm like, oh my God, really? And they're like, yeah, his name's Andreas Carlson. And little like 8-year-old me got the chills thinking back when I read who wrote all those Britney and NSYNC Backstreet Boys songs, and he was one of the writers. He was Max Martin's partner. And I was like, oh my God, life is so crazy. And he came in, long story short, he ended up executive producing our music that we did. And I lived in Sweden, and I got to learn how to really write a great pop song and got to write with a ton of amazing writers. And it was such an education. I mean, unfortunately, we came back to the States and our label at the time was like falling apart, and they shelved all of the songs we wrote. But it was about the experience, and it really made me who I am now. And after that, I was like, I got to be a solo artist. And like I said, Steve Zapp found me, and he actually saw me perform when I was 17, and he always was like, you're a star. And he ended up writing me on my Facebook page when my band broke up, and he didn't even know the band broke up. It was like stars aligned, crazy timing. And he was like, I'm breaking this girl Daya right now, and I want to meet with you. And I was like, oh my God. So I remember going to his house with my parents, and we went there, and my mom looked at him, and she was like, do you really think you can break her? Do you think you can get her songs on the radio? And he looked at us, and he said, I'll get her songs on the radio within 4 months. And he did. He doesn't just talk the talk, but the man walks the walk, and I feel so blessed to be with him. And it's so important to have people in your corner, and he's my guy, and I'm so lucky to have him. But I just, like I said, I always knew what I wanted to do, and through the ups and the downs, I held out. I can't, because without singing, I feel like I would stop breathing.
Man, there you go. She's not doing it for the money, man. She's doing it because she loves. This is like air. Music is like air. You have to have it. You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing about. Yeah, and like I don't make music, but yeah, I'm not a music maker. But I took a music degree because I love music. To the point, I just wanted to understand what it was, the mechanics of what you guys actually put together from your feelings. And I was like, man, I still don't have it. Trust me, I still can't make music, but I understand, you know, the passion that makes you do what you do. Let me ask you that, you know, since you've had a pretty well managed ride all the way since the beginning, what was the biggest shock for you when signing to the major label Machinery? What was it that you go, wow, didn't know it worked this way?
So I'm actually signed to, and this is something a lot of people don't know, I'm actually signed to the independent part of Sony, which is called Sony Red, Red Music. And
okay.
I'm actually signed to Artbeats, which is an independent label, and they have a deal through Sony, and so I'm signed on the independent side of Sony. So I'm lucky
awesome.
Because I have the Sony system, but I'm full independent. You know, I'm in the trenches doing my own thing. I'm hiring my own PR team. I'm hiring my own stylist. I'm hiring my own whole glam team. No one's paying for anything. That's coming out of my pocket. My visuals, that's all me. I've created
mm-hmm.
everything. So,
there you go.
That's how it works on our side. You know, my manager, God bless him, my manager who also runs my label, he covers all, you know, all those expenses, but like everything else, like visually and stuff like that and all that, you know, that's coming out from me for my project.
I think it's so dope. We hear about the guys, you know, doing the joint ventures and, you know, it's really a big deal made of it. But, you know, I've got the Brady Bunch. I have 3 daughters, 3 sons, and I want my daughters to understand, you know, yeah, I know it's funny, and I'm surprised that she stood still that often. So just I want them to be able to see the future. And we just don't get it. So this is beautiful to be able to talk about the business side. And we're going to have some fun, though, because I really dig this joint. I never do. And now that I understand the premise, let's get into it real quick and let the people, your debut video. This is her debut video. Visual is awesome. Great lighting, great direction, great production. I can't show you the video, but we're going to get into the song. Simon, bring in I Never
Yes.
Do. Let's go.
All right, everyone. You are listening to my single, I Never Do.
You didn't even say your name.
You
didn't say, yo, this is your girl, Simon. I'm bringing. How would I introduce you? Come on now. Give a brother a break.
What
you're a radio host.
I know, but when it's turned on me. Yo, guys, I'll do it right now. Yo, guys, it's your girl, Simon, and you're listening to my single, I Never Do.
All right, let's get into it.
Leather and cigarettes, always look better in neon light. Another drunk text only gets me addressed in a new waste of time. I guess I'm just addicted to the bullshit, filling out just to get it with the cool kids. Morissette rolling on my cassette, telling me that guy. And I know you could give me something better. Might come me back to my friend. faded when I should be praying on Sunday nights. Oh, you can say that I'm jaded from complicating things all my life. I guess I'm just addicted to the bullshit. Call me young, call me dumb, call me too rich. Radiohead on your radio saying it's no surprise. And I know you could give me something better.
Services right now, dropped last Friday, Friday the 7th. It was an amazing day, 7/7/17. I never do. It was her debut visual. Socials and where they can find you. I know that you're on a time crunch, and we really appreciate the time that you spent with us today. Where can we find you?
I first want to say thank you so much for having me. It was so great to talk to you. You're so sweet, and I've had so much fun. Thanks for having me. You can follow me on my socials. Well, first of all, my website is officialsimon.com. My favorite social outlet is Instagram. I'm all over that. It's at officialsimon, and that's Simon with a Y. Twitter and Facebook are at officiallysimon, but like I said, my favorite is definitely Insta, which is officialsimon, and that's Simon with a Y. Thank you so much, and you can find my song, like you said, all streaming services. You can buy it on iTunes. Go watch my video on Vevo. I'd really appreciate it.
Hey, it's a beautiful video. This young lady is smashing down doors. I'm loving it. She's a businesswoman. She's not just a pretty face. She doesn't just look great in green on the carpet at the Billboard Awards. She is painting beautiful pictures, taking us on a beautiful sonic ride, depositing us safely at the end of the adventure. I'm loving it. Miss Simon, thank you so much. Dyke Magazine Live Session. We're out.
Thank you so much.